Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. But on the seventh, he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man, then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. If a man sells his daughter as a female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master who designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, her clothing, or her conjugal rights. If he will not do these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you pour out your grace, that all of us will have an ear to hear your word. Through your word, let us hear your loving voice telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us also see what your Son has accomplished for us, our heavenly reality, that we may rejoice and give you thanksgiving. And as we hear your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, as we hear your word, increase our faith. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 1 says, now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. They are now God's people who have been saved out of the slave bondage of Egypt. They are now a holy people of God. They are the nation of God's priests. They are God's possession. All point to the God's people who are set apart from this world and sin in Jesus Christ. Thus, we must live a life that is also set apart. Set apart from the sinful life of this world. God is our King, and His laws are now our command. We must not live according to the patterns of this world, but according to the will of our God. God is the one who decides what is good and what is evil for us. From the very beginning, sin resulted because Adam and Eve were displeased about the fact that God and God alone decides on what is good and what is evil. They wanted to live their lives according to their own desires, not God's. They themselves wanted to be God's. But what they and we must understand is that when we think that we are living according to our sinful desires, we are actually living as slaves to sin and Satan. See, so many people misunderstand that there are three categories. One, that you belong to God. Two, you belong to Satan. And the third category, which is not true, that you don't belong to neither God nor Satan, you're completely independent. That's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. Because the Bible only talks about two categories. Either you are son of God or you're son of Satan. There is no third category. There is no neutral ground that you could stand and say, I don't belong to either. I make my own decision. That's a lie. Bible doesn't teach that way. As soon as you don't belong to God, then you belong to Satan. So these people who saying, who's thinking that, well, I live according to my own desire. I don't follow God, but I don't follow Satan. He's being deceived. Because if you're not following God, then you are following Satan. That's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord has saved us from sin and Satan and this sinful world. We must now live according to God's will. And this is what is being witnessed as we see God's laws were given to the Israelites after they were saved out of Egypt. And notice how these laws, even Ten Commandments, were given to them after they are saved. See, people think that God would give the laws to Israelites when they were in Egypt, and if they obey, then He will save them. But that is not what we see in the book of Exodus, is it? God saves them. Then, because they're saved, because now they're holy people of God, their identity has been changed. Because they're now new self, the law is now given. Do you understand what's going on? But this is a typological salvation, and what is being witnessed is what Jesus Christ will accomplish when He comes. I mean, He already came, but at the time of Exodus, it's in the future. So, in applying the laws of God that we find in the Old Testament, now, I was kind of, tempted to just not really get into the text today and just talk about this principle, because this principle is so important for you to understand. So pay attention today, especially the first half, okay? In applying the laws of God that we find in the Old Testament, we who are living in the New Testament must be very careful. Before we say anything, we say this. We must obey God, period. We must obey His laws, period. And all those who will be judged by God in His second coming, He will be judged by God for their disobedience. But we must understand the biblical relationship between the Old Testament and us who are living in the New Testament time. Israel, in the time of Moses, was a theocracy. It is a shadow form of the true kingdom of God in heaven. In a theocracy, the church and the state are the same. In theocracy, when God is the king of that nation, church and the state is the same. And that is how Israel was. But that kingdom, Old Testament kingdom, Israel, was pointing to a heavenly kingdom. In heaven, church and state will be one. But in the United States of America, where we live, church and state are not one. So you cannot go to Old Testament laws, which was given to Israel, and just directly apply to you. You cannot do that. Even these laws pointing to Jesus Christ. So you must apply these laws, not directly to you, but first you got to go to Jesus and then you. You have to realize what Jesus has accomplished. And in the light of that accomplishment, then how are we to accept these laws in the Old Testament? Keep listening. And in theocracy, like I say, the church and the state are the same, but with the end of Israel, end of Old Testament Israel, the theocracy ended. And we do not have theocracy anymore until Jesus returns. We have no theocracy today. The United States of America is not a theocracy. And according to the Bible, no country in the world before Jesus' return should be a theocracy. Heaven will be. And the Old Testament Israel was a type of it. Now in the New Testament time, every nation must be ruled according to the common grace order. Only the church and the Christian families are according to the special grace order today, not the government. And even within the Old Testament, God has shown us how these two are different. The common grace order and special grace order. Let me give you an example. There are so many examples in the Old Testament, but listen very carefully. When God commanded Abraham to go to the promised land, he goes. And when he got there, he wanted a land, piece of land to bury his wife. And Abraham, at the time, had to pay for it. See, the time of Abraham was showing us what is true under common grace order. But when Moses went to promised land, he didn't pay for it. He actually went in and killed everybody, and he took the land. Now, what's going on? How come there are two different reality here? Abraham had to buy and had to negotiate the business, but Moses just go in and just kills everyone and takes over. Because Abraham was pointing to common grace order era, whereas Moses was pointing to the special grace era. See, when Jesus returns, common grace will stop. That is why when Jesus returns, all non-Christians will be judged and sent to hell. No exception. Because common grace order stops when Jesus comes. But until he comes, this world, God governs it in terms of common grace order. You've got to differentiate. You have to be able to differentiate these things. Otherwise, it's just confusion. Now, our standards divide the law of God into three groups, and we agree with that. They are the moral laws, meaning Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial laws, the laws concerning the sacrifice to God, and the judicial or civil laws concerning the government of Israel, the theocracy. And of course, we are not able to put all the laws of God in the Bible into these three groups as neatly as we would like to. Some overlap. But nevertheless, we divide all the laws into three groups. And listen to what our standard says. All which ceremonial laws are abrogated, meaning abolished or do away with, under the New Testament. Now, that's obvious, right? Ceremonial laws are no longer, we don't have to obey those because we don't do animal sacrifices anymore. Because Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself as the perfect sacrifice once and for all. So there will be no more sacrifice in the lives of Christians for sin. Of course, there will be living sacrifice. That's how we must live. But for sin, no more sacrifice. So all those animal sacrifice and the laws concerning those sacrifices is abrogated when the Old Testament Israel ended. When Jesus came for the first time. And listen to what our standard says. To them also, as a body politic, God gave sundry, meaning various judicial laws, civil laws, which expire together with the state of that people, not obliging any other now, further than the general equity thereof may require. What is this saying? Now, let me repeat again. The ceremonial laws are completely abrogated because our Lord Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself as the once and for all perfect sacrifice. But those ceremonial laws still teach us about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thus, we must still study them to learn about Jesus and what he does. So yes, those laws are abrogated, but we still have to study them because it teaches us what concerns the sacrifice of Jesus. So from these laws, we still learn about Christ. So we continue to study. But we do not do what it says. We don't go out and kill those animals and sprinkle their blood. No, we don't do that. Because Jesus Christ has accomplished all those laws. Yeah? And the judicial laws, which we see in our chapters, you know, we're going to look at all these judicial laws up to chapter 23. So you got to, you know, it will take us about 10 weeks to go through these laws. And I wish I could just finish, you know, really quickly, but I have to go through them. Because I would like to teach every verse in the Bible, not just whatever I like to preach. These judicial laws were only given to Israel as theocracy. So when Old Testament Israel expired, these judicial laws were also expired. Now, only the principle of the general equity, meaning the principle of the general fairness, applies when it comes to judicial laws of the nation today. So, God is not telling United States of America to adopt these judicial laws of Israel as their laws. That's not what God wants the United States to do. But only this principle of fairness still applies. Meaning that all the laws that we make in this nation must be fair to everybody. See, during the theocracy, the church and the state are the same. But now in the New Testament, under the common grace period, the church and the state must be separate. And you heard this, right, in your government class, church and the state, we're separated in this country. And that's Christian understanding. The question is this: what is the state's role to the people of nations in the common grace period? When the church and the state are the same, like during the time of Moses, worshiping other gods is not only sin, but it is also breaking the law of the state. Is that principle still applies to us who are living in the United States of America in the New Testament time? No. It is, of course, sin, but our government must not make it its own law so that it is also breaking the law of the land. Because if we take Ten Commandments as the law of the United States of America, we have to lock up those Buddhists. Because they're breaking the law of the land, which says, do not have any other gods before God. But that is not what God wants us to do during the common grace order period, the New Testament time, until Jesus comes. See, when Jesus returns, oh, then having any other god, that is serious crime. Not only is sin, but in heaven, it is crime that deserves eternal death. But not until he returns. Are we demanding our government, United States of America, to make the Ten Commandments the law of our nation? No. That is not what the Bible is telling us to do. If we make that law as the law of this nation, like I said, we have to lock up all the Muslims and we have to lock up Buddhists. I mean, if we... No, that is not what God wants us to do. Of course, all must obey the law of God, period. God is not saying, okay, those Buddhists, it's okay to have Buddha as their God. That's not what God is saying. But it is not the government's role to execute those kind of laws in the nation that is under common grace period. It is not the government's duty in the Old New Testament to enforce God's law on their citizens. God never says that. But Buddhists should listen to what the gospel says, and they should get rid of their god idols and worship the true God. They should do that. They must do that in order for them to be saved. But government's job is not to enforce that law upon the citizens of its nation. The government must be fair to all citizens. Let me say it again. All must obey the Ten Commandments, and the non-Christian will be judged because of their disobedience of them. But it is not God's will that our government is to enforce those laws on the citizens of this nation. The God's will in the New Testament time is that the separation of the church and the state must be maintained. The government must treat all citizens equal, both Christians and non-Christians. Our government should not discriminate some people just because they're not truly Christian. I mean, that's not going to happen, but that is not what God wants us to do in the first place. The original Westminster Confession of Faith was not clear about this matter. The meeting during which the Westminster Confession of Faith was drafted was called by the state of England. Because in England, the government and the church, it's one. It's Church of England. So it was state, it was the king. In today's language, it was the president who called churches together to come up with Westminster Confession of Faith. What? If Obama tells church to gather and come up with the best confession, are we going to obey? No, we'll say, just leave us alone, do your job. Because government cannot tell church to do what to do. Because church, we just obey the Bible. We don't obey what the government tells us to do, unless, you know, Bible says to obey the government when it tells us certain things that are, you know, proper, so we do obey. But just because the Bible says. See, during the time of Westminster Confession, the state, the England, state at the time was responsible for protecting the church from heresies and punishing the heretics. No. Church will punish the heretics. We have our own disciplining that the Bible requires churches to do. So when you have a wrong doctrine, who will discipline you? That job belongs to the church, not to the government. But during that time, the original Westminster Confession of Faith actually says that the government must protect church from heresies and punish the heretics. So just because you have wrong understanding of the Bible, they will put you in jail. See, that happened in Geneva, right? When Calvin was there, heretics were put to death by the government. That was wrong. That's why when you study, you know, this world history, the Christianity comes out not as good, but man, they have so much negative stuff belong to Christianity. That's how you will learn it in public schools. But we have to admit that that was not what Bible is teaching. Government has no place whatsoever when it comes to the matters of the church. We don't want government to tell us what to do, and we don't tell government what to do. Until, only thing we will say to the government is be fair. That's it, be fair to everybody. So, protect me and give me freedom to worship my true God. But government should also protect and give a Buddhist a freedom to worship his God. Which is false, of course. But government should be fair to everybody.